Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 5, verses 17 to 23. John chapter 5, verses 17 to 23. Now keep in mind while we read this text, the topic, honor the Son. Honor the Son. And I'm delighted to have this opportunity to teach this particular passage today because I love to brag on Jesus. Let's read John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So what's going on here is that the Pharisees want to kill Jesus Christ, and their particular reason at this point is because he had broken the Sabbath, and then also because he had said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now the truth of the matter is he didn't break the Sabbath. He gave them ample opportunity to pin him down out of the law by asking them on more than one occasion if it was lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he said, you know, if your sheep were to fall into a pit, you'd take it out on the Sabbath. You circumcise on the Sabbath. You loose your ox and your ass, you lead them to water on the Sabbath. So he didn't break the Sabbath, but that was the accusation. And then it said he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And the truth of the matter is he didn't have to make himself equal with God. He was equal with God. So the point of his conversation at this point was that they should honor the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father, verse 23. And the question is, why? Why? Well, first of all, because he did God's work. That's the first reason, because he did God's work. Now, notice, in verse 17, Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Look again in verse 19, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So he works the works of God. He does what God the Father wants him to do. And that's what he did. Look in John chapter 9, verse 4. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now what did he say? I must work the works of him that sent me. All right, look at John chapter 14 at verse 10. John chapter 14, look at verse 10. Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. That's good. That's real good. Because it shows you that the work that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing was not his own work, but it was the work that God the Father was doing in him, through him. He was a vessel. Look in John chapter 17, verse 4. Jesus Christ is praying to his Father. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So that's a real faithful thing. Have you ever been given an assignment, a job, something that you do that God Almighty wanted you to do, something that you knew that your boss wanted you to do? And could you honestly say, I have worked the works that you gave me to do? That's an honor. I tell you, that's a great thing there that Jesus Christ could say. He deserves a lot of honor for doing God's work. Now, what was the work? Well, there are several things. We'll give you some examples. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ read out of the book of Isaiah to express the type of work that he had come to do. Luke chapter 4, look at verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me, what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Well, he was going to heal the blind, set the captives free, set at liberty those that were bruised, preach the acceptable year of the Lord, preach deliverance, heal the brokenhearted, all those kind of things. Did he do it? Well, look in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, look at verses 3 through 5. John the Baptist is thrown in jail. He's concerned now whether or not he's been doing the right thing. So he sends word out to Jesus Christ and says, do we look for the right one or we look for another? And here's what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Number one, the blind receive their sight. Number two, the lame walk. Number three, the lepers are cleansed. Number four, the deaf hear. Number five, the dead are raised up. And number six, the poor have the gospel preached to them. It looks like he fulfilled exactly what Isaiah said that he was to fulfill that he read about in Luke chapter 4. And those are not the only things that he did. There's something else very great that he did while he was here that God wanted him to do. And he announced this great work to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16. This is only one of several occasions where he announced this to them. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. Why? For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. What was God's work? God's work that he would go to Jerusalem and die by the crucifixion. Well, that's tough. Jesus Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Not my will, but thine be done. He did God's work. Let me tell you something. You know as a Christian how hard it is to do God's work. God says to us, You are my witnesses. And haven't you skipped out on an opportunity to witness to somebody recently? You could almost sense the compelling of the Holy Spirit to tell them about Jesus, and for one reason or another, you chickened out? Sure. Haven't you had a situation come up in the last year or so where you were sitting in a church service under the powerful, convicting preaching of the Holy Spirit, and you had a little bit of money in your pocket, and God was trying to get you to give that to somebody like a missionary? I don't mean the preacher begging you out of the money. That happens too. I'm just talking about a sincere deal where God himself was working on you through the Holy Spirit about doing something with that bit of money that you had, and you backed out. You know how easy it is to back out of doing something for the Lord. Haven't you had the opportunity to see somebody that needed counsel or wisdom from the words of God, and you thought, well, I'll get to it, and then got kind of busy and didn't? Sure, that's happened to you. It happened to you a great deal. It happens to all of us. It happened to me. happen to you? And we cannot honestly pray like Jesus Christ did to his Father and said that I'm doing the work that you've given me to do. Sometimes we unfortunately cop out on it. And sometimes we don't finish the job, but Jesus Christ did. And I'm going to tell you what, when a man does exactly everything that he's been told to do, and he finishes the job, he's worthy of honor. A lot of these corporations will honor a fellow as the employee of the year or the officer of the year because he did such a good job. And the employee of the year, the employee of the week, the employee of the month, whatever, gets to park in the special parking place. Wow, he gets some honor. So we honor employees. Why wouldn't we honor the Son of God that did everything that God wanted him to do? But that's not all. Another reason that he's worthy of our honor the Son, is because he's equal with God. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Let me tell you something, God was his Father. And he is equal with God. Let me show you how this thing works out. And as a result, because he's God Almighty manifest in the flesh, he is worthy of honor. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Keep your finger there for a second, because we'll come back to it in just a minute. Philippians chapter 2, and notice how Paul confirms what you've just read in John. Let this mind, verse 5, be in you which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There you go. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There you go. There's the work. There's the humility. But you know what? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he was equal with God. Look in Luke chapter 2. Joseph wasn't his earthly father. Luke chapter 2, and look at verse 49. Joseph wasn't his earthly father. His earthly father was God Almighty. He had no earthly father. When Joseph and Mary went back to find Jesus because they'd left him behind, he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus Christ was 12 years old when he said that. He was always about his Father's business. Just like he said in the first part of this thing, he did God's work. Now, what's the deal here? Well, in Philippians chapter 2, he's equal with God. Jesus Christ has a name, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You know why? Because he is God manifest in the flesh. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's been your trouble with Jesus Christ ever since you've gotten acquainted with him. When you finally realize that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh and start giving him the honor that's due, your relationship with him will improve and your relationship with God the Father will improve. But until then, you're going to have trouble with him. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Who was manifest in the flesh? God. Of course, you wouldn't know that if you had a modern Bible, because they took God out. You know why? They're just like these Pharisees. If they had been alive, many of them, back in the days of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was doing this, and he wasn't operating according to their understanding of the Bible, they would have tried to kill him just like the Pharisees back then did. You say, I don't believe that. It's true. They're not ashamed to kill him now, if they could. They'd take him right out of the very text where his deity is proved. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's why he wasn't ashamed to say that God was his Father, because he was equal with God. Have you ever read 1 John chapter 5, verse 20? You ought to read that sometime. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, you want to know who the true God was? The true God is Jesus Christ. I know you have no trouble believing that at all. The thing I can't understand is how a man who doesn't have any trouble believing that at all doesn't mind using a modern Bible that attacks the deity of Christ many times. But that's between you and the Lord, not between you and me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Oh, that's powerful. But you know what? That's not the only reason that we should honor the Son. We ought to honor him because he did God's work faithfully. We ought to honor him because he's equal with God. Third, we ought to honor him because he was loved by the Father. Oh, that's something. When you know that God the Father loves somebody, they are worthy of all of your honor. It's kind of like somebody said, if he's a friend of yours, he's a friend of mine. Because I know you and I know the friends that you pick. Same with God the Father. When God the Father pours out his love upon somebody, then he's worthy of our honor. Look at verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son. Oh, what more could you say? God announced for everybody to hear, and it was recorded in Scripture for us to hear, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What more testimony do you need? God the Father announced it. The Holy Spirit recorded it in the Scripture. You read it, and I just said it. God loved him. Look in John chapter 17, verse 26. Jesus Christ knew he was loved by the Father, and as he prayed to his Father and closed the prayer, he said this, John 17, 26, And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let me tell you something. If you're beginning to get the picture here, then I'm going to tell you something. If you would love Jesus Christ the way that God the Father loved Jesus Christ and honored Jesus Christ, the way that God the Father honors Jesus Christ, God the Father would love you the same way he loved Jesus. Woo, boy. Let me tell you what, I'm not going to pass up an opportunity like that. I'll tell you right here on the air, Jesus, I love you and I honor you because your Father loves you. We love him because he first loved us. I love to brag on Jesus. Maybe you couldn't tell. Why do you want to honor the Son? Because he did God's work? Because he is God manifest in the flesh? Because he's loved by the Father? Well, those are good reasons by themselves, but those are not the only reasons that are in the text. Another reason that you should honor the Son is that he was instructed by God. You know, I like those instances where Paul says, I didn't receive this by revelation of man. I received this by revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, this isn't a man's deal. This is God's deal. Well, Jesus Christ was like that. Look again in verse 20. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. So he was instructed by God the Father. In other words, Jesus Christ had absolute assurance in everything that he said was so because he had learned it from God the Father. And he repeated it because God wanted him to say it. Look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? You know, he didn't go to any of our schools. He didn't graduate from the Hebrew University. I don't know who his professor was. How is it this man knoweth this man letters, having never learned? He didn't go to our school. I wonder what school he went to. You know, they ask preachers that a lot these days. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. In other words, big boy, I could not have gone to any of your schools and learned the things that I'm telling you, because this doctrine is not mine. This is not a man's doctrine. This is God's doctrine. I'm telling you what God sent me to say. You say, where in the Bible does it show us that Jesus Christ was taught by God, instructed by God? It shows us that in Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Now, the context of Isaiah chapter 50, verses 5, 6, 7, all that stuff, it has to do with the judgment and crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 4 is about him. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. So God Almighty gave him instruction. That's a reason to honor him. We honor the scholars. Some of us do. I mean, if not, the scholars honor themselves. I mean, you know, they put the doctor and all that kind of stuff on their names and tell you what big university they've been to, that kind of thing. And I'm telling you, when the guy is really a scholar, I mean, really a scholar, he gets some honor. He's well known. You see, we honor employees, and Jesus Christ did exactly what God wanted him to do. Therefore, he's worthy of our honor. He's God manifest in the flesh, and we worship God and honor God. Therefore, we should honor the Son. He was loved by the Father, and we honor those that God loves. And he was instructed by God. We honor the scholars. If we would honor the scholars, we would certainly honor the one who was telling us exactly what God told him to tell us. Whew. But that's not all. We honor him because he has the power of life. Because he has the power of life. Look at verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He has the power of life. These things you're reading about in verse 21 have to do with eternal life and have to do with the resurrection. And you know what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, when he was dealing with Martha about getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What did he say? I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. He has the power of life. If a man wanted to live forever, all he'd have to do is go to Jesus Christ and ask him to give him that life and receive Jesus Christ and have that life. Why? Because Jesus Christ quickeneth whom he will. And the reason he can do that is that he's not at all like Adam was. Adam was earthly. Jesus Christ was heavenly. Adam was made a living soul. Jesus Christ, the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. So when you receive Jesus Christ, you are quickened and brought up from the dead so that you would live forever with eternal life. I'll tell you what, I'll honor the man that can do that for me. I'll honor Jesus Christ. We honor doctors. And all that doctors can do is give you temporary life. I'd much rather honor Jesus Christ. But that's not the only reason that we honor the Son. We honor the Son also because he has the power to judge. I mean, you go to the judge and you say, Your Honor. So if you're going to say that to the judge, then you're certainly going to say that to the Son because, look at verse 22. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Look in Acts chapter 10. Verse 42. You know what you're seeing here? Acts chapter 10, verse 40. You know what you're seeing here? Men have become too humanistic. They've become way too humanistic. You listen now. And I don't mean to take it. I tell you there's. I say this from time to time because I know you're listening to the radio. So don't misunderstand me here. I realize there's some things that are done on the radio that are very helpful to you. And I appreciate what God does to those men to help you out. I really do. But I say these things also because I want to make sure that Jesus Christ gets the honor that's due him. You'll listen to these radio men and they'll say, oh, so-and-so is joining our program today, and oh, we think he's just the greatest. So-and-so's come in here to give us some advice, and oh, we think you're doing the greatest. And you know how they keep on doing that? You know how they do that. They keep talking about the greatness of these various people that they have come in to help join them in the hosting of their program and that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. There is a place for that, but not much of a place, particularly when we're talking about biblical things. Because the person who is entitled to the honor is the person who's in charge of having made all this happen. And I'll say, I believe that we're getting a little too humanistic in our accolades that are brought upon each other. God demanded humility, and the one we need to honor is the Son. Acts chapter 10, verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. You'll remember in Philippians chapter 2, where we'd been a little while ago, there's going to come a bowing day. There's going to come a bowing day. God hath given Jesus Christ a name and exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You'll do well to honor the Son. Let me tell you something. If you honor the Son like you honor the Father, then you're doing the right thing. I remember dealing with a fella several years ago, as a matter of fact, and gave him lots of verses to help him find Jesus Christ as his Savior, and we weren't making the right progress. I didn't understand why. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit led me, or prompted me, to say John chapter 14, verse 1, which I was just talking to the guy. I couldn't get him to receive Jesus Christ, but I could tell that he was in earnest about wanting to trust Christ. And I said to him, what Jesus Christ said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And the guy looked at me and his eyes brightened up and he said, why didn't you tell me that before? And I said, well, tell you what. He said, what you just said, say it again. I said, Jesus Christ said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, there it is right there. That's what I've needed to hear. Well, what's the deal? The man that I was talking to honored the Father, but what he didn't understand is that he needed to honor the Son. You believe in God, believe also in me. And when he realized that God the Father was honored by this man receiving Jesus Christ and honoring the Son, then he honored the Son by receiving him and thereby honored the Father. And that's what Jesus Christ said about all this stuff he just taught you today. But he also said this, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. And I'm going to tell you what, the scholarship today and the religions today do a very, very poor job of honoring the Son. Most don't honor him at all. They give him a little place. And think by what they're doing that somehow they're honoring the Father. And I'm going to tell you something, if you don't give Jesus Christ the honor that's due unto him, you're not honoring the Father at all, no matter what you think. The Pharisees were deceived about honoring the Father. They didn't. They were honoring the devil. Don't be guilty of having done the same thing. Give Jesus Christ the honor due him based upon the things that you heard him say about himself today on the Unknown Bible.
You have been listening to the Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.